Welcome to the Keeping It Young radio program, conversations about marriage, family, and ministry life. I'm Dave.
And I'm Bethley.
And we are the Youngs. Join us today as we enter to another special edition of the question and answer episodes. Today, we'll continue our talk with David and Abigail Adams. Let's transition here a little bit because Dave and Abby have some questions they've found and come up with. So here's a little question answer session.
Oh man, we are a
little different than we've done before.
We are excited about this. We didn't want to come on and give our two cents about everything because we're not even positive that we've got two cents worth of stuff to say. But yeah, we wanted to get some of your questions, and definitely feel free to reach out to the Keeping It Young podcast page on Facebook or Instagram, and we'll see if Dad Young even ends up reading them. But
I always
nothing
read them.
Else, if this becomes popular, we'll see if this becomes a segment moving forward. But we got a couple of questions. We're just going to take a couple minutes on each of them and work our way through.
Okay.
Some of them I've reworded a little bit, but all of these are from friends of ours from across the country that just wanted to be able to reach out with some of these. So the first of these questions is, how can couples stay close and connected during busy seasons? we certainly know that a lot of people in our modern world just have straight up busy lives.
Yes.
But maybe a music pastor heading into an Easter musical or a Christmas musical, or a Christian school football coach, man, the fall's just going to be pretty packed out.
Right.
For maybe a specific kind of season where time is especially at a premium.
Sure.
What can couples do to stay close, to stay connected, to stay thriving in their relationship during those kinds of times?
That's a really great question.
That is an awesome question.
The fact is that it applies across the board, because although there are those seasons of busyness, we are a busy generation.
Yes.
And so many couples are running and running and running. And when you have children, when you have just every part of life is a demand on our busy schedule. But it is also true that there are those times of emphasis where, wow, there's a lot going on right now. And I would say a couple of things. First of all, one of the things that's helped us is that we do remember to stay with our priorities.
Yes.
And so we try to never allow the schedule to overcome the priority. So even in the busyness, Beth and I still work at connecting every day. And there's no excuse not to. We have texts, we have calls, we have Facebook, we have, you know, direct messages. But we've always set aside time, even in the busyness, to connect every day. Mm-hmm. And we try to, you know, at least have meals together, even if it's a quick meal or a fast meal. We plan it. You have to plan the connection in the busy times.
Right.
And so plan it, but as much as possible, do it together. Do the busyness together. And that's been a big thing for us as well. We've gone through the busy seasons of life together.
Yes.
So that when I was doing it, and you can't always do it that way, but when I had to be busy as much as possible, Bethley would join me. And in our busy times of our schedule, one of the reasons we lived in a fifth wheel when Abigail was younger was so that our family could do the busyness together.
Yes.
We just go on the road together. So do it together, plan the connections, and then make sure that you keep walking in the Spirit. Because sometimes in the busy times, we excuse the fact that, well, yeah, I'm a little grouchy, but I'm tired and I'm busy. Or, yeah, I'm a little uptight, but I'm tired and I'm busy and it's okay.
Right. That doesn't sound like anything I've ever said.
Well, I hope there's not conviction falling here, but you know what I mean.
No need.
But that would be one of the things, the three things I would say. What would you add to that, sweetheart?
I would just add that often we feel that our busyness takes up every moment of every day. And in our society, it really doesn't. There are jobs that you can take your work home with you. David, you are a faculty member. You teach. And so, yes, you can take your work home with you. You have grading to do and things like that. Often, though, there are even ministry jobs where, okay, the work is done. We're leaving the church property and we're going to go home. And wow, it's been a busy day. I just need to binge on Netflix. Or wow, it's been a busy day. I just need to sit here and scroll through my phone. And so instead of taking the extra effort that it does take to connect with your spouse, it's so much easier just to sit and quote a veg. And so I would say during those busy seasons to make sure that you're not using time wasters instead of time investors.
Yeah, and that social media is a huge time waster.
It is. So put your phone down and talk to your spouse.
It's a time waster all the time, but especially during busy time.
The other thing I would say is so many times we feel that everything rests upon us. You had mentioned maybe the example of a choir director who's getting a cantata ready. And yes, does he have a great deal of responsibility? He does. But you know what? If something happened and he was not able to direct that cantata, it probably would still go on. Or if they had to cancel it, Christmas would still go on. So many times we put so much worth and heaviness into things that are going to pass away. Or if they don't happen, it's going to be okay. But our marriage is... what we need to focus on. It is something that isn't of grave importance. And yeah. So you know what? You just stop everything. You just stop and you say, you know what? We need to go to lunch together. You know what? I've hardly seen your face in the last 5 days. So let's sit down, have a cup of coffee, and I'm going to stare you in the face.
That sounds exciting. She's going to stare at me.
Okay, anyway, I don't know if that made sense.
That does make sense. And okay. Thank you. I think that we have time for maybe one more question in this particular session. So give us one more.
Let's do it. When serving in ministry while also working another job, maybe this is someone just starting off in ministry, they're bivocational. Maybe this is the husband's a youth pastor, the wife works at Chick-fil-A or Starbucks, wherever the case might be. If you're serving in ministry, but you're working another job, how do you balance this is how I earn a living with this is also my ministry?
Oh, that's a great question. And I would answer that in a couple of ways. First of all, being that as much as possible, don't separate them in the sense that, you know, like for those of us in ministry, I know you and Abigail are in ministry and Bethany and I are in ministry. For those of us in ministry, it's easy for us to separate it. You know, my whole life is ministry, and, you know, we can look at the fact sometimes you're sitting in an office and doing paperwork that is part of your ministry job, but it's work.
It's mundane work.
It's mundane work. And the ministry part of it is the people and the preaching and the teaching and the excitement. And sometimes it helps a person who's bivocational ministry plus what we would call secular work to remember that you don't have to separate the two. You think in terms of, okay, I work at Chick-fil-A, but I'm in ministry. And what you find out is that the Bible says in all labor there is profit. And many times working a secular job will connect you to people in the community that those of us who don't work a secular job would miss.
Right.
It'll also give you great sympathy for the people in your church that work, you know, they drive 2 hours to work through rush hour traffic and they work for hours and then they drive back, they get home late at night, and they go soul winning. And or they're gone all day, but they still go to church twice on Sunday, and they're there at all the events. And so don't separate the two as much as you possibly can. And yet at the same time, realize a couple of things. One is you're limited. God designed us to be limited. When a person works a secular job plus has a full-time, or, you know, ministry is always full-time, whether you get paid full-time or not.
Right.
You do have to always remind yourself, I am limited. There's no way that you can do everything. God didn't design us to. And it doesn't mean we allow responsibilities to go.
Right.
We don't let things slide and say, well, it's just not mine, I just can't do it. If it's my responsibility, I need to do it. But at the same time, God knows I'm limited, which is why the Bible tells us we're to sleep. And if I don't sleep, then I am missing the fact that God designed me physically to sleep, but also in a sense spiritually, because every night when I go to bed and need sleep, it's a reminder that, you know what? I can't do anymore. I can't stay up all night like God does. I'm finished. I'm designed to be limited. So always keep in your mind, I'm limited. I can't do everything. Take care of your responsibilities, but never feel like, okay, I've got to do it all, because nobody can do it all.
True.
And so that's where I am. What do you add to that?
True. I just like the idea that you pretty much said that you just integrate it. I have had people say to me, oh man, I cannot wait until I can stop working this job so I can fully concentrate on ministry. And we don't need to think that way. If you have a secular job, but you are also in the ministry, just think of it as part of your ministry. I get to go every day and see a whole bunch of people who maybe never go to church. And maybe you're limited in what you can say to them. but probably not as limited as we think. There are opportunities to say, hey, how are you? Having a good day? Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that. Could I pray with you about that?
Oh, yeah.
And different things like that. So always thinking of my whole life is filled up with ministry.
Absolutely. That's really good. And when you stop and think about it too, just to remember that we get to serve the Lord. And the Bible does say in fact, the first podcast we ever did, we did it on the verse where the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness.
Yes.
And you that are what we call bivocational in ministry, remember to serve the Lord with gladness. Mm-hmm. Don't look at, oh my word, I have to go over here. Look at it as, isn't this great? I get to serve the Lord. I have this job and enjoy the people that are there. Enjoy the fact that you're making money to take care of your family. Just make that a part of serving the Lord and serve the Lord with gladness.
And that I was thinking that too, that you have to make money, you have to live, and you have to take care of your family.
Absolutely.
So you should not ever think of needing to have a job on top of your ministry as something that is woeful or, oh goodness, it's just, you got to do it. You got to make money.
And so do it happily.
Yep.
Well, I think we're out of time, actually. And okay. I know you had, how many more questions do you have for us anyway?
Hundreds, but I mean, as long as everyone keeps reaching out to the Keeping It Young podcast page.
Absolutely.
We've got three or four more that we'll get into.
We'll do another session and do another time. So look forward to the next session of this, Questions and Answers. And in the meantime, this is Keeping It Young. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for being on with us, David and Abby.
Absolutely.
Thank you for having us.
It's been fun. You've just been listening to Keeping It Young, where we have conversations about marriage, about family, about ministry life. Today, we continued our question-answer session with David and Abigail Adams. Join us next time as we further study the subject, Using Technology Wisely in Your Home.
For more information, or to hear more Keeping It Young, go to tilradio.org or keepingityoungpodcast.com. This has been a co-production with Keeping It Young and TIL Radio Network.